Hello, Lincoln. This is Brandon Jackson and David Perrin, picking up where Jim Kirk left off. Welcome to the Y-Files. Hope everybody's having a good day so far. Today we're going to be talking with Pastor Moline. He's our special guest. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, it's good to be here. We're excited to get the Y-Files going again here. Should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Very grateful and honored by the opportunity to be here. So I've got a few questions to try to put Pastor Moline on the spot.
Dun, dun, dun.
So if you're ready, if I haven't forgotten anything. Email address, if you do have questions you want to contribute to the show, which we'd love to hear from you. It's going to be email address of knna.yfiles@gmail.com. Again, it's Brandon Jackson and David Perrin hosting the show. And Pastor Moline is our guest, so I'll go ahead and start with our first question for Pastor Moline. Pastor Moline, we would like to know, how does Scripture guide us when our children cause us as parents great heartache or disappointment?
Yeah, that's a big question, right? And there's so many ways that that can happen for families, that there is great heartache within the family. There's places where children fall away from the faith. There's places where children make poor decisions that have life-changing effects. And there are places where, just kind of a conflict and disappointment, or there could be drugs, all sorts of things where there is kind of a conflict between parents and children, and that does affect family life a lot, and the church does have a word to say about that. And so the first place maybe that we should start in talking about that is going to kind of the basics of Scripture, because I think sometimes in dealing with this, people approach it with a do this, don't do that only mindset, and there's actually two words that we need to say from Scripture in relation to conflict between parents and children. And back to catechism class, right? I'm sure you guys remember. There's two parts to all Scripture, and what are they?
Law and gospel.
Law and gospel, right, exactly. And so we want to keep both of those things in mind as we start to tackle this question about how do we help children when there's heartache or a conflict between parents and children. And this is important to remember both those parts, law and gospel. The law shows our sin. The gospel shows our Savior. The law also always accuses. And what I mean by saying that is when we hear the law, it always shows us the things that we're doing wrong. And so, David, if you are doing drugs and all I ever say to you is drugs are wrong, after a while, what's the conversation between us going to be?
Not much.
Right, because you're going to stop doing what?
Nothing.
You're not going to talk to me anymore, right?
I'm just going to keep on doing it.
All he ever does is harp on me. All he ever does is tell me what's wrong, and I'm tired of that, you know? And I don't know if your kids have ever said something like that to you.
Yeah.
And so we have to use the law, yes, but we also have to talk about the gospel, and the gospel is the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ, because it's the gospel then that actually changes hearts. It's the gospel that allows a new person to come to life within the Christian and actually make lasting life changes. And I say that way. We'll talk more about what that means as we go forward. So I would say to start with, we want to approach everything in law and gospel and the conversation that we have with the child. So are you following me so far?
Yep.
Okay. So what we want to do first is, when we're talking about this, using law and gospel, we want to be able to kind of tell where the kid is, okay? So if a child, let's say, one of the examples you guys had written down to kind of talk with this topic is abortion. If a child that you love has had an abortion or is thinking about abortion, and you find out about it, when we have the conversation with the child, we kind of have to know where the child is with this, right? Because there's two ways they could be. Number one, I had an abortion, and kind of like you heard at the Oscars last week, it made my life better, and I'll do it again if I need to. That's one possibility, right?
Right.
The other possibility would be, and this is the one that's probably much more common amongst average people that you don't hear about because it's painful, is I had an abortion and I feel terrible about it and I can't sleep anymore because I killed my baby and it just makes, it wrecked my life and I feel that every moment and you don't understand what that's like. So we have both of those possibilities. As a parent dealing with your child, you have to do what? Know where they're at. And so first step, what do you do? You got to talk to them about it, you know? What are you thinking about the situation? How are you feeling about it? And if they're the first way, I did this and I'm going to do it again, up yours, that's when we ought to probably use the law. If they are crushed and broken and in pain and torment because of the actions they've done, that's then when we ought to use the gospel. To start to talk to the children about whatever the situation is. So, I don't know, thoughts, questions so far?
It's making sense so far to me.
Yeah, following along, very great. Okay,
great. Taking great. Notes over here.
Yeah, so let's maybe test the first option, okay, where the person is secure in their sin. Right, and I don't know if we want to keep using abortion or if you have a different idea what we should use. Maybe that's an all right one, an abortion, to talk about it. When a child's had an abortion and they say, I don't care who you are, I'm going to do it, and it made my life better, the things that we say to them are, well, first off, maybe we should talk about the commandments. You know, what does God's word say about abortion? And so we go to the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, which means we should not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. And we say, all right, the actions that you've done have not helped this baby, right? They have not benefited your neighbor, this child. In fact, you've hurt them, taken the life of this child, and God says that's sin and it's not good. It's a sin. Did Jesus die for this sin? Is there forgiveness complete and free for it? Absolutely. But we need to establish the fact that the action's a sin first before we can get to the gospel forgiveness that comes for that sin. So there's the conflict, right? How do we get them to understand what their actions are sin that have hurt other people and perhaps themselves as well? And that's the goal that we want to do. People are always very eager to hear that message?
Probably not.
No. I mean, what sort of responses do you think there might be?
Just anger. Don't like being talked to like that. Tell them that. Don't like being told that you're wrong or that you're doing something wrong or planning on doing something wrong.
Yeah. So as
I was going to say, I mean, yeah, it would be probably frustrating to be told that, you know, you can't take the easy way out. So,
right,
because it's a lot harder to raise and take care of a child, I would think. So,
yeah, and I mean, so for any of these situations, whenever someone is confronted with their sin, it's kind of like backing a dog into a corner, right? There's two responses that a dog backed into a corner will do. Number one, they'll just roll over and submit, right? The other thing they might do is bark and bite and attack because they feel like they have no other option. And that basically, when someone's confronted with their sins, those are the two things that happen. They might submit and realize their things they've done are wrong, or they might attack, gather other people, and tell other people what a jerk their parents are for what they said to them or the pastor is. And so we have to be aware of that. And the things that we can do to help prevent that conflict and to prevent that anger response is to say things in a very loving way, right? And so it's not, you big sinner, you're going to go to hell because of what you did, but rather, you know, do you realize how serious a choice you've made? Do you realize how this affects other people? Do you realize what God's word says about this? And even go to places in God's word where it talks about the various thing. And that's the way that we approach all sin. And as pastors, that's the way we do it, to try to talk about what God's word says. And then I think as parents, that's how we ought to do it too. You guys are both fathers. And so you guys are spiritual heads of your family. That's a big responsibility that you have, is to approach your children when there's some sort of sin there that is between them and God, to call it out, to call it sin, and to help them approach it in a kind Christian way. So, I don't know, thoughts, questions?
Seems pretty clear to me. Although I definitely would think when seeking that approach, I'd have to definitely pause for a little while before approaching it, because usually it's something just blew up in the house, and you have to process that and not get angry too quickly.
Right. So, and maybe this is a helpful thing to remember. As difficult as it is, we can never, ever be surprised when a sinner sins. That's what we should expect, actually, is sin to enter in and people to make mistakes and do what's wrong. And so we have to never be surprised, but always be ready to talk about it in terms of, we've talked so far about in terms of the law. Now, when the person is crushed by the law, when they realize what they've done is wrong, when they realize it's sin, then what do we come in and say? We say, this is a sin that Jesus has bled and died for. You are completely forgiven. I am here with you as we pick up the pieces of whatever this is that's happened. I'm here to be your parent or your pastor, in my case, with you as you struggle with this. As we use the example of abortion, that's something that lasts with people for the rest of their lives. I think that's why so many people keep on affirming it later on, or even those who silently suffer from the effects of abortion. It's always there, this knowledge of what's gone on. And to keep on reminding and know that it's not just a one-time thing, you know, you're forgiven and then everything will be good. It's something that people have to be reminded of each and every day, over and over and over again. So, yeah, kind of a place to start, I suppose, there.
Well, thank you very much for that. Dave, did you have anything to add to that before we take a short break?
No, I think I'm ready to take a break and get some questions in my head and talk to Pastor some more.
Me too. Well, thank you. Again, you're listening to The Y-Files. This is Brandon and David filling in for Jim Kirk. We'll be right back. Brandon and David, The Y-Files. Just had a little break, but we're back now. And before we left, David, you had a little question that you wanted to throw out there for Pastor Molina. Do you want to give that a shot?
So we just talked about abortion, where that could be, you know, a person has one abortion and then they don't do it again. They could recover from that, get over that. What if there was a situation that was more ongoing, like drug addiction or homosexuality, that could come and go on and off? How would you handle that? Would you go back to law, then gospel, law, gospel, and just try to keep repeating your steps? Or
yeah, I definitely would. That's exactly the way to kind of handle it. And that's where, as a parent for your child, you always are asking the diagnostic questions to see where they are at. So there's the times when they feel guilty for the sin, and that's when we apply the gospel. And there's the times where they are secure in their sin, and that's where we apply the law. And one of the things that's a great blessing, that's probably very underused in the church in dealing with sin, ongoing sin, homosexual inclinations, drug use, whatever the sin is, stealing cars and boats, robbing banks, you know, one of the things that we have that is a great gift is confession and absolution, where people can say, here's the sins that I'm struggling with. specifically, and have that specific sin forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know it sounds kind of awkward for us as American Christians to actually talk with someone about the sins that we're struggling with, and yet it is a great way for us to continue to be forgiven for the sin that we struggle with. We do it generally in the beginning of all our church services, right? All the Sunday services here at Good Shepherd, we start with corporate confession and absolution. The entire church, we say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess my sins," and we're forgiven. But when we're dealing with a sin that is happening on a regular basis, or one that's really bothering us, that's when we have the opportunity to go one-on-one and to confess it to the pastor. Or so if this is parent and child, you know, and the child is saying, you know, "I'm really struggling with drug addiction right now, Dad. I really want to use drugs again." That gives the opportunity for the parent to say, "You know, I'm here with you to support you in this. This is a sin Christ has died for, and I'll be with you no matter what happens in that regard." And again, the parent has to kind of know where the kid is at with this challenge, this struggle. What are they feeling at that time? There's no sin too large for Christ to forgive. There's no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot take away. And so parents, as you're dealing with your kids, remember that. And I think a part of that is then too, when you do forgive a sin, don't bring it back up the next day again, right?
Right.
So do you remember last week when you broke the window in the living room? Boy, that really didn't make me very happy. And now look what you've done also. All that does is compile sin upon sin upon sin. As a parent, when you forgive a sin for your child, let it be forgiven. And you guys remember what Scripture says about forgiven sins? Where are they? "They're as far from you as the east is from the west," right? You've heard that before?
Right.
How close is that? Is it close enough for me to say, "Dave, do you remember what you did last week? Brandon, do you remember that time when?" No. If it's as far from the east as from the west, it's gone forever. And so let it be gone forever in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Another one. What if the parent or parents were church members, went to church, had an understanding of what the law and gospel said, but were not had a deep understanding of how to apply that to their child? If the parent needed help getting to that point of being able to do that, what resources could they turn to do that?
Well, and I'd say to all the parents listening here in our Lincoln, Nebraska area, when you are facing this challenge and you know that there's a problem or an issue that you need to address with your child, the first resource that I would go to is to call your pastor and talk with them a little bit about it and say, "Here's what I'm afraid is going on," or "Here is what I know is going on, and here's my frustrations. Here's where it makes me angry," and confess that to your pastor, be absolved from that, and then also find out, you know, from your pastor how you can approach it with your child in a Christ-like, God-pleasing way. That's what pastors are here for. This is why you guys pay us the big bucks, you know, so we are here to be with you as you deal with these things, not just here at church, but also in your families, in your work relationships, all those things. Pastors are here to bring you God's word so that you can use it properly as you deal with the people around you as well. So talk to your pastors about it. And as you do so, remember, again, there's no sin so big that it's not forgiven. And Christ is always with us, even to the end of the age. We are never really alone or stuck in a situation without help. God gives us the fellow Christians around us to help us and support us in these times.
Makes sense, yeah. I think a lot of parents' first reaction would be, you know, confusion or anger, and would just do what they can do to stop the situation, you know, whether you ground them, you don't let them leave the house, take their car keys away, but never sit and explain to them why you're doing that.
And there are consequences for sin, right? And I'm not saying that a parent shouldn't ground their child or take their car keys away, but what goes along with it that's important? I mean, like we said before, the law always accuses and condemns, and these punishments are a part of the law. What needs to come with it then is also the message that there is forgiveness for it, and that in that forgiveness, the child is still loved and appreciated by the parents, and that they are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It seems really silly, right? I know out of us here, our kids are still fairly young. We always, in our house, try to teach our kids when they do something wrong to say, here's what I did, it was wrong, and I'm sorry. And so if it's like, you know, my son steals my daughter's Lego house and breaks it, right? He says, I'm sorry for breaking your Lego house. And then we also tell my daughter to say, I forgive you. Because those are words of forgiveness and absolution, if you will, that kind of set that sin free. And they're learning how to do it with the silly things like Lego houses, so that when you get to the bigger things like alcohol and drugs and the opposite gender and you know, all the things you can find on computers and tablets that are inappropriate, all the other more serious things as a parent, you've already set up a method for dealing with these things. I did this, I'm sorry, I forgive you, move forward, and it's forgiven. So I think that's an important thing for parents to do, especially when they're dealing with their kids with any sort of sin, big or little.
If a parent was like too scared or too embarrassed to come in to admit that to a pastor, they weren't ready to do that, is there information they can get out there that's trustworthy? You know, books, pamphlets, stuff on the internet, a safe place to go?
About the, you know, homosexuality and abortion, there are lots of resources for those things. Each individual sin that a parent deals with their child, or a child with their parent, has a different place to go. And so if it's alcoholism, there's places where there's resources for that. If it's abortion, you know, I'd encourage Lutherans for Life. I know we've had Pastor Salamink on the Y-Files before, and I think on our radio station in other ways as well. And so there'd be resources there. I would say this to the parent as well. When you deal with your pastor, whatever you say to your pastor is between you, the pastor, and God. And when you leave the pastor's office, it's just between you and God again. The pastor, his ear is the place where secrets go to die, if you will. When a pastor is ordained, they take a solemn vow to never divulge the sins that are confessed to them. And if they break that vow, they really can no longer be a pastor. And they do everything in their power not to break that vow. And so feel comfortable to talk to your pastor. Don't be afraid of him. I know, you know, we're really intimidating people, you know, and we're strict because we stand up in that tall pulpit and we tell you what you do wrong all the time. Don't be afraid of your pastor. He's there to bring you God's word in season and out of season for all the situations of this life. And just like we said, we shouldn't expect our kids who are sinners not to sin. Your pastor expects everybody to be dealing with sin, and he wants to be there to help you and to bring the forgiveness of Christ to all these sins for you. So don't be afraid of your pastor.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. I guess I was thinking about this spiritual tools that are available to us, and then I can almost kind of imagine some of us might still kind of feel like there's some kind of blame that God might be placing on us as parents, you know, for when our children go down these wrong paths. How would you say that God would view parents when it comes to blame regarding a child's behavior like this?
Well, yeah, I think that is a real thing that parents deal with. Say, we've given examples of different sins, trying to get to the meat of how to deal with it, but let's do a different one now. Say your child stops going to church. You know, they turn 18, they go to college, they never darken the door of the church again. You know, I see lots of times where parents say, well, I must have done something wrong. I must have raised them the wrong way. And we can't do that. We always have to remember that each one of us, we're responsible for our own actions and our own behavior. We can't take the blame for other people's actions, right? If you speed on the way home from the radio station today, I can't, as your pastor, take your ticket and give it to myself, right? It's yours. And we have to do that with our kids as well. So if our kids aren't going to church, we can't blame ourselves or try to self-justify it to ourselves. We have to let that sin go where it needs to go. And that is not on us, and it's not on our kids. It's on Christ. And there's the forgiveness that we have. Now, that means that we then are able to pray for our kids. We're able to encourage them. We want to invite them to come to church on a regular basis. We want to do so in an evangelical way and not a law way, remembering that the gospel is the part that changes hearts, not the law. We want to know where to turn, and that's to Christ that forgives all of our sins. There's nothing too big for him to forgive, and that even includes where we maybe fall short as parents. So we don't need to feel that guilt. We need to let it be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for that. And David, I don't know if you had anything else that you wanted to add right now before we take another short break.
I don't right the minute. I think we're ready for a break.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. This is Brandon and David with the Y-Files. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Y-Files. It's Brandon and David visiting with Pastor Moline in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thanks for listening to us. Looks like we have time for one more question tonight. David wants to front that one, so I'm going to go ahead and let him go ahead and give that to the pastor. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So was there ever a point that Christian parents should just let it go, let God deal with it?
We mean there's a challenge, there's sin. Parents try to address it, and there's still conflict, and the kids still stay what they are. They say, go up yours or whatever. I think that's a hard question, right, to actually come to a meaningful answer. I know the big theme right now, ever since that Frozen movie came out, is to just let everything go and not worry about it. But I think as Christian parents, there's a certain amount of responsibility in wanting to raise our children to actually be Christians. And so if we were to let it go, we'd have to understand what we mean by that. It would not be just let it go and let them keep on using drugs and say, it's okay. I'm just going to let you be who you are. Or if they're struggling with homosexual attraction, to say, you know, I embrace this identity of who you are. I don't think as Christian parents we can do that. We need to always be ready to speak the truth in love and to say, I do not support the thing that you're doing. I love you because you're my child, and I will always love you because you're my child, and I will be here for you to help you overcome this difficult situation, and I cannot support you in it. At the same time, the reality is after a certain amount of time, or when your kid turns 18 and moves out, right, there's a aspect to it where they might be out on their own, right, and they might say, up yours, Dad. I'm never going to talk to you again. And in that regard, we do sometimes have to let them go in that sense. What do we still do? We still pray for them. Yeah. We still love them. If we get the opportunity to communicate with them, we take advantage of that. Because what's behind all these things we're talking about, you know, if there's an open sin and we as parents are trying to help our kids through it, what's our main goal?
Eternal salvation.
Eternal salvation, yeah. Right? It's really nice if their life goes well and they're successful, but that's not our main concern. Our main concern is when this world comes to its end, where are they going to be? And that's the thing that we can't just let go. We want our children to be Christians and to be saved. And so what opportunities are we going to have to talk about Christ and the forgiveness that Christ brings, and to talk about sin and forgiveness? We want to take advantage of those. We don't want to just let it go and say, you know, I'm just going to choose to not talk about this anymore. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
You know, we do know these things are in God's hands, and that He is the one who calls, gathers, and enlightens Christians, and He's the one who has earned forgiveness through Christ. We still, as parents, have duties to try and raise our kids as Christians in the faith, to bring them to church. And so I'd encourage parents, just imagine if you're a parent and for 18 years of your child's life, you bring them to church every week. What's the kid watching and learning from you? The church is important, right? Imagine if you are sitting next to there and singing the hymns from the hymnal, even if you can't sing well, right? But you're teaching the kids what when you're singing the hymns and following along in the service?
It's important.
Right. As opposed to if you're sitting there and checking your phone or watching a hockey game underneath the pew, right? The kids then learning church isn't important. Or if you skip church a lot, the kids learning church isn't important. This is something parents need to do starting from the very beginning, teaching the children and all the things they do that church is important, to teach them that the forgiveness of Christ is important. We talked earlier about the silly little thing, you know, I'm sorry I did this, I forgive you, and then letting that sin be forgiven. If we start to do these things all the time, those are the things that we can do. And even when the conflict comes to a climax over a big situation, when a child is older and maybe even moving out, if we've laid that groundwork, we always have that we can kind of go back and deal with it in a Christian manner. And that's exactly what we want to do as Christian parents.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's all that I had. Did you have anything else, David? You want to add to that?
What if a child views that as, you know, I can do this, I'm forgiven. I can do it, I'm forgiven. Just
yeah, the whole forgiveness as a license to sin question, right? Yeah. I always like to do this one. So either one of you guys baseball players?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played baseball, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Not a baseball player.
Okay. Well, Dave, when you were a kid, did you ever play baseball in the living room?
Yes.
Did you break a lamp or a window? A window. Okay. Yeah. Or my soccer player, Brandon? No?
I played a few years of soccer.
Okay. Yeah. My brother kicked a soccer ball through the window one time when I was a kid, right? Now, when you broke the window or whatever else it was, and your parents found it, they might have been mad for a while, right? Frustrated. And there was, at some point, the conversation that took place. I'm sorry I did this. I forgive you. And you moved forward. And the sin is behind you now. And you probably laugh about the broken window when you talk with your parents now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine the difference, though, if you were forgiven, your parents replaced the window, and then the next day you did it again. And then they forgave you, and they replaced the window, and then what happened the next time?
You just did again. It again.
There comes a point where you're taking advantage of the forgiveness that's being given. And with your parents, that's one thing. That's taking advantage of their forgiveness. When we're dealing with God, what it's really teaching us is that I don't care that your word says not to do this. Essentially, it's the same with a parent, right? But with God, it's much more eternal in the consequences. I don't care what your word says. And when we're rejecting God's word, we're really rejecting God himself. And that's then a faith problem. And that's where we have to address it with them. You don't really believe God's word says this activity is sin. You think that the forgiveness that God gives is a license to keep on doing it over and over again, which tells us your faith in God is not in the right place. And that's then the issue that we would have to address with the kid. So is that kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So not an easy thing. And again, this is where parents have to be patient and calm and ask diagnostic questions to see where their kids are and how to address them in these issues.
That's all I can think of. I think you answered all our questions, and I came out of here with a new understanding of a few things. So,
Good news. Yeah, glad to hear.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, this is the Y-Files, Lincoln, Nebraska. I've got David and Brandon here for you, and also Pastor Molina. Thanks for coming out and sharing your wisdom with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for getting this going again. You guys will do great, and I appreciate the time you guys are putting in to bring this show to the Lincoln area.
Happy to do it. I'm excited. Get a little bit of the jitters out of the way tonight, so
for
sure. I think the next time will just be easier.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you. And again, if you have any ideas or hot burning topics, that's knna.yfiles@gmail.com. Thanks, and have a great day. We'll be right back.